Okay, so Craig Pierce is going to talk about Edubuntu stuff.
That's right. So, can everyone hear me? Yes, kind of. How's that? Excellent. I'll make this as interactive as I can as well, so feel free to ask questions within the next 20 minutes. So what this presentation is on is parental controls with Linux, Edubuntu in particular. There's a few sysadmin aspects. I think there's a few interesting pieces to the talk in terms of some of the programs that can be used. Just out of interest, who here has children? Yep, a good number of people, that's good. I've got a couple of young children. I'm trying to get ahead of the curve, I guess, in terms of making sure I can have a fairly good setup at home in terms of the children being able to jump onto the machines and not get to the shock sites and whatever else. So it's a bit of a hobby, really. Just one of the many facets that I get up to in the hobby time in terms of seeing what's out there, exploring a few Linux programs and seeing what can be done with them. So what I'll be covering is some very light touching of what Edubuntu is. Then I'll look at some safer web browsing techniques using the likes of Web Content Control, which is a GUI for Dan's Guardian, Tiny, Proxy, and Firehole, which is an IP tables front end. I'll be looking at GNOME and what can be locked down there very briefly, the likes of using Pessulus and the GNOME web browser. And then looking at time-based quotas, so things like Timekeeper and Timeout Daemon, which is a PAM time front end so that session times can be monitored and enforced. Then I'll wrap up by looking at some remote viewing and remote control type software using the likes of XVNC and iTalk. So any questions? But yeah, feel free to ask questions at any time. So the talk is a technical talk. It's not about parenting. I've got a lot to learn there myself. And it's not an exhaustive talk. There'll be more tools and techniques out there, so I'd be happy to hear of any of them if you know of those. And I'm not focusing on lockdown either. So if we've got time, I can look at a few of the GNOME lockdowns that can be applied. I've got some Puppet scripts that were donated by somebody else, but that's certainly not the focus of the talk. Okay, so I chose Edubuntu because it's a great Ubuntu-based distribution, jam-packed with a lot of educational tools, things like GCompree, there's programs like Xturtle, which is a logo-based environment, Marble, some scientific stuff such as Calcium, geographical applications, Child's Play, which is really good. Just out of interest, who has seen or used any of those applications before? Great stuff, yeah. And another part of Ubuntu and Edubuntu, or Linux in general, is LTSP, which Edubuntu's basically built into its distribution. LTSP is the Linux Terminal Server Project. So you can have a server which offers the likes of Pixie booting, TFTP, DHCP service to allow diskless clients to then boot up, gather an IP address, bring down the kernel and initrd images to then boot up from a server. And that's great for enforcing controls because there's only one place where it needs to be enforced as opposed to having to enforce it on each of the desktops. So Edubuntu was its own self-contained Ubuntu-based distribution up until 9.04. At 9.04, Edubuntu was an add-on, so a repository add-on into a standard Ubuntu build, of which you would then install it and get all of the educational-based utilities that didn't come with Ubuntu. And 9.10, which is the current release, Karmic, of Ubuntu, Edubuntu's gone to be its own self-contained installation again. Now, throughout the demo, each of the utilities I'll be talking about, I'll have a quick demonstration of as many of those as I can fit in. So I've got a bit of a couple of VMs on the laptop here. So I've got an Edubuntu server installation, which supplies the LTSP configuration, and that's running under VirtualBox. then I've got a couple of clients. I've got a Quemi-based client and another VirtualBox-based Edubuntu client. There's a couple of instructions here if you're interested in looking at Edubuntu and LTSP in particular, the packages which are required, how to build up a change root image, and then basically how to make DHCP and Pixie configured so that the image can be brought down to diskless clients. So I'll just flip back here. What I've got is I've already started the Edubuntu server, which I'll log into the server with my account. And I've got an Edubuntu client loading up via Quemu. I had to change laptops recently, so I foolishly bought a laptop which didn't have the VM extensions for the CPU, so Quemu runs very slowly. So I won't persevere with Quemu as a client in the presentation, but one thing why I did start Quemu to show is being able to run different hypervisors but still being able to have them networked together using the likes of Linux bridging, which is what I've configured here. I actually think there's a talk about that. Either it might be Wednesday or Thursday, so I won't go into too much depth. And what I will do is stop the Quemu client because it's hogging resources. But what I will do is start the VirtualBox client. So we've got a diskless client here, the Edubuntu. As you can see, there's no hard drives. We'll power that up. And what that should do is call out to look for a DHCP server, which it gets, and then it'll bring down a Linux kernel and initrd image from the Edubuntu server. So we'll let that load up in the background. So the bridging I've used to make it a little bit more hypervisor independent is a simple Linux bridge device. Shows a unique non-routed network, and for Quemu, wrote a Quemu ifup script so that the bridge device gets attached to a Quemu timetap device. Any questions so far? Okay, so the first parental control I'll look at is some Mozilla Firefox plugins. Of which one of those is the Procon Latte. So Procon Latte, it's a free Firefox plugin that allows for whitelisting of sites. As we'll probably know, whitelisting is a better approach where possible for lockdown because it allows only known good as opposed to blacklisting, which is preventing known bad. So if we flip back to the Edubuntu server, just open up Firefox. Any questions while some programs are loading?
Have these the web interfaces and that, have they been there for some time? Because the last time I used it was a little while, probably a version or two ago.
Sorry, I missed the start of the question.
How long have the web interfaces been there and the controls like that for? Because last time I used it, which was couple of versions ago, admittedly,
yeah,
there was nothing even remotely like that. I had to install Dance Guardian, set it up.
Yeah, sure. So web content control, which we'll touch on after we look at Procon Latte, is fairly new. I think it's only about 18 months old. I'm not a developer yet. I'm in touch with the developers. I'm hoping to get some time to get my hands dirty with the code, but it is fairly new. And the reason it did come about was exactly that, trying to get around having to manually hack on Dance Guardian config files and things. It's only a tactical sort of solution as well until Gchild Mine comes about to be a bit more integrated and versatile. I had to do a bit of hunting. It's just one of those sort of 30-minute exercises which turned out to be a bit more in terms of looking for parental control software. There's no sort of fully integrated NetNanny style software under Linux, so it is at the moment a whole bunch of different tools and techniques to get a similar result. Okay, so on the server I'm logged in as myself, and I can get to sample site, stickthings.com. Actually, I've blocked that under Dan's Guardian. So I chose a site which wasn't something Dan's Guardian would normally block, because otherwise it would probably not be a G-rated talk. And in case Dan's Guardian wasn't working, I wouldn't want to go to a naughty site of sorts. So I've come up with I've used a friend's site and basically put that into Dan's Guardian's block list, so that if it does display, then no one will be offended. So that's going to be the test candidate. Hopefully by now, our diskless client, yes, it's come up. So we can see our diskless client is an LTSP-based client. I'll log in with an account I've named Toddler. Well, that's logging in. So Procon Latte, which is the first tool. Okay, so the sorts of things we can do with Procon Latte is lock down Firefox, so we can sort of prevent users going to the About config and changing Firefox preferences, right-click blocking, view source of pages. I probably won't show it. I'll let you guys see the profanity filter, but what that does is it's got a whole bunch of swear words and other words which aren't deemed suitable for children, and it does a basic regular expression match on web pages, and if it finds those sorts of words, it will hash them out, which is quite cool. I like that. And it's also got the whitelist component where we can enable just certain sites that can be used. One issue with Procon Latte is that it only works for Firefox, so it's not a great... So a smart child might just load up Epiphany or Safari or another browser which might be installed on the system. Okay, so I looked at that at home, and my wife, I blocked Facebook via Procon Latte simply by turning the whitelist on and not adding that, and my wife simply loaded up an alternate browser. So I thought, well, that's not going to work on the kids, doesn't work on my wife. I then installed Dan's Guardian and set a proxy for the Firefox and another browser which my wife used, and she found a third browser. So I thought, well, okay, setting proxies in the browser, that's a simple way to work around, as we all know. That's when I looked at Dan's Guardian with set with a transparent proxy, so that proxy would only accept traffic going out to internet coming from Dan's Guardian as a program. That's good, but it's hacking on config files, so it's not all that easy for more Linux novices, I guess. That's where Web Content Control comes in, and Web Content Control is a GUI for Dan's Guardian, Tiny Proxy, and Firehole. Firehole being a somewhat nicer front end to IP tables. Okay, so that's the client. Let's jump on the server. Yeah.
I found that, because I use transparent proxying also for the same reasons.
Yeah.
Have you not run into any issues with HTTPS breaking? Because it has to be specifically set in the proxy, otherwise it won't work.
Yeah, that's a good point. Certainly you do have to do that with HTTPS. Yeah.
I look after a very large proxy at work. The general preference seems to be explicit proxy configuration and disable direct. So configure the proxy and then make turning it off meaningless.
So, sorry, configure the proxy and then...
Set up Firefox or whatever browser you want with the proxy.
Yep.
And then just go straight to Dan's Guardian or Squid or whatever you want. And then have the firewall block direct access.
Yes, that's right.
So
yeah.
You don't need transparent proxying.
Yep.
And well, if you do transparent proxying, it's just to catch the other little things.
Yeah, that's right. And that works as well.
So the comment from the gentleman here was that many things don't support explicit proxies.
That's where transparent proxy will be a sort of a default catch-all. So here's the GUI for web content control. It's written in Gambus, which is a fairly simple scripting language. I'm not sure if anyone has seen or heard of Gambus before. So that was used by the developers of web content control as a real quick and dirty tactical to get something up and running. So this is where we can sort of globally enable or disable certain content control software such as Firehole, TinyProxy and Dance Guardian. It also allows us to edit files without having to know where they're located by clicking a button, and then it will launch gedit or another text editor of choice. I probably haven't got too much time to go into all of the different settings there. I've got 5 minutes left. What I do want to say about web content control is it is specifically only for TinyProxy, Firehole and Dance Guardian, where there is other software out there such as SquidGuard, UFW, which is Ubuntu Firewall, obviously Squid as opposed to TinyProxy. And that's where the G Childcare product is more of a strategic product, which will have separate client and server components and be able to hook into different software to make it more adaptable. That's certainly in the sort of the blueprint phase at the moment. I've got some configuration here on what is generated for Firehole. I've put in a network rule to allow simple connections for DHCP, Pixie and the like to speed things up for the presentation. But what we can see here is the important bits, the first line where only Dance Guardian is allowed access out. That gives us the catch-all transparent nature of the proxy. Time-based quotas was the next thing I wanted to talk about. So I've given three approaches to restricting the amount of time that the child can use on the machine. LeechBlock is a Firefox plugin. It works well, but it's got the same downsides in that you need to be running Firefox for it to be active. TimeKeeper is a nice web UI front end to PAM time module. So just quickly, let's have a look at that. So what this allows us to do is set time-based controls on specific users. And time of day access as well. So it might be, for example, after school from 4 o'clock till 7 o'clock only on weekdays. Question?
Does that do anything when you're logged in?
Yes, it does. It gives you a 5-minute warning and then automatically logs you out. So it'll log you out of your X session or X terms or even your command line terminals. It's a PAM module, so if you'll be logging in through PAM, so it will just kick you out.
Even if you're already logged in?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, so it's monitoring the likes of VAR-UTEMP and things like that. Sorry, PROC, just parts of PROC to be able to see if you're logged in. So if you're logged in, and then you're configured to only have 2 hours access, it will work from there on. It won't be retrospective. Okay, timeout D is the third one. So timeout D's caught me a few times. I've got timeout D running on the presentation for myself and all other users of the VMs. And timeout D, it's not GUI based, but what it does allow you to do is specify specific sessions, whether it's a TTY or a console or a X11 terminal or whatever else, and how long it can be logged onto that for one session and an entire amount of sessions as well. The third one, the next approach is GNOME lockdowns. So I won't have time to look at the Puppet-based configurations for disabling Alt+F2 for run and those sorts of things, but what we can see is Pessulus. And what Pessulus does is allows various parts of GNOME to be locked down from a GUI. So from here we can disable command line access, saving to disk and those sorts of things, typical things where you can sort of escape out and try and work around kiosk style controls, as well as the Epiphany web browser. So Epiphany is a GNOME-based web browser, and you can make this into a real kiosk sort of mode where even entering arbitrary URLs is disabled. Okay, the first, the last thing I wanted to talk about in the presentation is remote view and control. Again, best thing about parental controls is being with the child in terms of monitoring, making sure that the right sorts of sites and things are being looked at. But if that's not possible, then remote view and control via X11 or XVNC can be used. And this is how it's done. So the first step is with root privileges on the say the toddler's machine, you create a XVNC password, and from there on in, from your machine, you'll create a SSH port forward to the toddler's machine, and have an XVNC server running from there, of which you can then connect to it via the XVNC viewer. On that last step there, you see the view only command line flag. That means that you can watch what's happening, whereas if you remove that, you can then have remote control, which is great for guiding and educational training type purposes. So one thing really cool to sort of take that concept further is a system called iTalk, which we'll load up now, and that'll be the last thing for the presentation. So I'll cheat and just do it from my physical host. We'll just have X11 port forwarding to the Edubuntu server, and we run ICA. So iTalk's using XVNC, or just VNC under the hood, and SSH key-based authentication so that there's no password prompts. And from here, basically iTalk will discover all of the machines on that subnet, and you can remotely control those machines. So one example, okay, so what we've got here is, let's wake up this client here. Okay, so we've got a terminal open. Then from iTalk, we can actually remotely see what's on that machine. Then we can do things like lock all of the workstations or lock specific ones. Then if you go back to the diskless client, it's actually locked now, so the toddler won't be able to use that machine. Let's unlock it. We can send text messages like... like so. And then on the toddler's machine, that message will appear. Remote shutdown, which I'll utilise now as I wrap up the demonstration, so we can power that down as well. We can also take remote control and open up applications and teach and train if need be. Okay, any questions?
We've probably only got time for about one question.
Sorry, it's just one technology product that I've kind of come to love and use exclusively for doing my filtering and blocking in my networks for the last couple of years, and that's MoBlock, which became Block Control, which is essentially a C++ wrapper to IP tables where you can feed in masses of IP address blocks.
Yep.
And I've kind of moved to using that exclusively for a lot of the functions that you're looking at here. Yep. Have you considered adding some sort of controllers for that?
Yeah, I haven't. I have used MoBlock. Correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think it does time-based access controls though.
Yeah, but no.
sure. Yeah, I have used MoBlock in previous iterations, but what I didn't find was it also a GUI to be able to configure it and make it simpler for more novice like people. But certainly MoBlock is certainly does some of these things as well. Sure. Yep.
Okay, I think we'll have to wrap that up. Thank you very much to Craig.
Yep, thanks, everyone.